welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeFevenier. Coming up in this hour, Westerns. Later in the hour, we hear a Western story on crime classics. But right now, it's Have Gun, Will Travel, with John Daner as Paladin. The third broadcast of the series, heard on December 7th, 1958 on CBS, called Ella West.
I promised I'd avoid a gunfight if possible. But it looks as though it isn't possible. I have one bullet left. You may draw when you're ready.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of the man called Paladin.
Go on, Mr. Paladin.
Well, at 7 o'clock, we could have champagne in the lounge.
Mm-hmm.
At 8 o'clock, dinner at the Peacock, something special.
Oh, I'm intrigued, Mr. Paladin. And, then?
Coach ride to Barnaby's for Crepe Suzette's only. Barnaby prepares a Crepe Suzette. Mm. And after that, a liqueur back here by the fire in the lounge.
No.
Then?
What?
No.
Oh, hey, boy.
Who is this?
Me, number one for Mr. Paladin. Sorry, lady. No champagne. No peacock. No creepy Suzette. No liquors tonight. Wire come. You go. I know. You already packed.
Wire?
Here.
Bad news, Mr. Paladin?
Ah, dear lady, forgive me. Hey, boy, send an answer to Tom Carter, Abilene. Just say, Have Gun, Will Travel.
Here you are. Your bag, your saddle, and your gear. This is your hotel right here.
Now, what's that?
Oh, folks from the Wild West show hold up in town right now. Most likely Ella West.
Ella West, huh?
Yeah. The star attraction at Tomahawk Carter's Wild West show. Yeah, it was kind of frisky at times. Wouldn't go into the lobby by the front way if I was you.
And you wouldn't, huh?
Not with Ella cutting up before breakfast. She just might take it into her mind to shoot them buttons off in that fancy vest you're wearing.
Well, I'll chance it.
Well, just friendly advice, brother.
No, Ella. Hey, please. I'm going to warn
you. Good for you. Stay there. Out of my way. Now, you jump when I yell frog and you jump high. Frog!
I'd like a room, please.
What?
A room. My name is Paladin.
Oh, yeah, well, just a minute.
Now, hold on, Ella. Fun's fun, but enough. Oh!
Later, you can jump, too.
Yeah, Ella.
Woo-hoo. Look at them fancy pants and that fancy vest.
You speaking to me?
No one else, Major. You don't need a room. Boys, he needs a cage. I might even buy you a lemon squash later on, fancy pants.
I'd prefer whiskey if I felt like drinking, which I don't.
Say, you know who you're talking to?
I do.
I'm Ella West, and I can out-shoot, out-ride, and out-cuss any man here. I can out-drink you, I can out-chew you, and I can out-spit you.
Possibly.
Hey, Ella, that's Tracy Calvert.
Tracy, where?
Hi, Tracy. Now, you gonna let Ella take over your spot in the show?
Huh? Morning, Ella.
I didn't see you come in, Tracy.
Why don't you answer Breed's question?
Well, I just might take your spot. For 2 cents, I'd run you out of town, pony boy.
Don't cut your price for me, Ella.
Why, you...
Break it up now, folks. Break it up. Drinks around Tomahawk Carter. Everybody.
I want to talk to you, Ella. You too, Tracy. That squabbling's got to stop.
You find me in the bar. Come on, Breed.
Well, sure thing, Ella.
Yeah, what was it this time, Tracy?
The same thing it always is, Mr. Carter.
Well, wrap me in buffalo hide, Paladin.
Hello, Tom. Hello.
Oh, you're a sight in there. That's a real sight. Tom. Yes, sir. Tracy, this is Mr. Paladin. He knew me way back when I was making an honest living. Tracy Calvert.
I've seen you ride, Mr. Calvert. Laramie, Wyoming, 71, when you took the grand prize.
I had a lucky day, Mr. Paladin.
We got powwow to make.
Well, I'll run along, Mr. Calvert.
No, no, you stick here, Tracy. I got bad trouble, and I want you to handle it, Paladin.
Save your money, Tom. I never saw a man you couldn't handle.
It ain't a man. That little gal I want gentle tonight.
Tom, there's one wild thing man will never civilize, woman. And if you mean that one, I'm afraid there'll be no pleasure in failing.
That little gal in there happens to be Ella West. 24 years old, she's already more of a name than Calamity Jane, Cimarron, Rose, and Belle Star lumped together. I got her in my show, and I got damage bills to prove it. And I'm going to lose my shirt even before I get my show together if something ain't done.
And you'll lose more when you get on the road.
There's a million people want to see Ella West, Mr. Paladin.
Darling of the frontier, heart of gold, yes, I've seen the write-up.
She's fast with a gun, and she can ride like a Comanche.
She has to be more than that. Ella West is a legend, Tom, a romantic illusion. Your audience will expect you to bring it to life.
That's right.
And instead, you'll produce a repugnant, grimy-faced, loud-mouthed little shrew.
Well, I don't figure Ella's as bad as all that, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, how long have you known her?
She joined the show last month.
Well, my question was, how long have you known her, Mr. Calvert?
If you don't mind, I'll look in on the stock.
Tracy and Ella was raised in the same part of the country. Learned shooting and riding together.
Let him tame her. He seems to have a personal interest.
Now, doggone it, we're old
Tom,
friends.
Tom, you're talking about making a show horse out of a wild, mean-tempered colt. Now, that takes more than taming. It means crushing its spirit, rebuilding it from the ground up. With a horse, the odds are 10-1 for failure.
Yeah, I guess I knew it wasn't any use all along. I could have made a fortune with her.
That's why I want 10% of the entire season's gate if I succeed.
You ain't changed, have you?
I hope that's a compliment.
It ain't never stealing to ask what you're worth.
What do you want?
This here's Mr. Paladin, Ella.
Oh, fancy pants.
He come here to learn you some things.
You ain't gonna learn me nothing.
Correct. My function is to teach. You will do the learning.
I quit.
Fair off time. She just resigned.
Wait just a blasted minute here. If anyone gets runned off, it's gonna be him.
Go along, Tom. I'll talk to you later.
I'll be in the saloon.
Now then. Sit down, Miss West. Mind if I smoke?
Go ahead. Try lighting that cigar now, Fancy Pants.
That will be 2 deductions from your wages, the cost of the cigar and the bullet damage.
You're kind of a cool one, Fancy Pants, but you ain't gonna make no lady out of me.
First, you're not worth 2 cents to the show as a lady, and second, that would be impossible in the first place.
Why, you... you took my gun!
It'll be less noisy that way. Now, sit down, please. Better? Although your audiences will expect you to be somewhat different from the average woman, they will expect certain fundamental manners. The essence of showmanship is to be different without being obnoxious.
You're a lily-livered, fancy-talking dude. I'll run you out of town by morning.
I believe you made the same ridiculous threat to Tracy Calvert.
Him, too. Tracy said anything to you about me, I'll kill him.
There's a ring of honesty in that threat, Miss West. However, he said nothing. I was merely speculating. Are we ready?
You got something to learn me. I mean, teach me, then get on with it. But keep your nose pulled in, dude.
Incorrect.
I gotta eat, don't I?
You don't reach with a fork and spear a slice of bread. You pick it up with
now,
your hand.
Now, just a minute.
And you never speak with your mouth full. Now, it's one thing to act homespun. It's quite another.
Breed!
You wearing a gun, dude?
It's quite another to create revulsion. I suggest you confine your idiosyncrasies to calling the food littles and complaining over the lack of buffalo.
I asked you a question, dude.
I heard you.
Because if you ain't got a gun, you better get one. I'm going to teach you some manners.
Drop it.
Ella, you've been tied to this dude for 2 days. Now, you like it or something?
I'm going along because there's money in it. You know an easier way, Breed?
Yeah.
All right, Ella. You say the word when you need me.
Mr. Breed seems to resent me almost as much as you do.
I can handle Breed for you, dude.
No need, Miss West. When the time comes, I'll handle him myself. Remember, just pretend I'm a newspaper reporter.
Get on with it.
Another question, miss. Tell us about your parents.
My old man was a stinking drunk, and the old lady was worse. She was
always... You are talking to reporters.
Well, then let them make it up like they've been doing all along.
Mention the homestead.
Homestead? It was a stinking sow pen. You can ask Tracy Calvert. It was so bad you couldn't believe it.
I'm sorry.
You wouldn't feel so blasted up if you got rut up like that.
You knew Tracy Calvert then?
Oh, yeah. I knew him. We was kids then. His daddy had a nice spread of land. You should have seen Tracy's house. All painted inside and out with a fence around it. And Tracy's ma all starched up and nice. She'd give me a dress once. My old lady traded it for some whiskey. Nah, Tracy'd have laughed if he'd ever seen me wearing it anyhow.
I think I understand.
What?
About you, Tracy Calvert.
Do you? Yeah, maybe you do it that. You're kind of a strange one yourself. I didn't know real men came in fancy pants. What I mean is, we ain't doing so bad, are we?
I don't know.
He's sort of like you. Everything I wasn't, Tracy was. Everything I didn't have, he did. When he was real little, his mom let me stay one night. She come in, and pulled the cover up, and kissed me. I was 16 and he was 18 when they was going to move away. Maybe he wasn't growed up yet, but I was. I was growed up plenty. I didn't ask Tracy to marry me, just take me with him. I'd do anything if he would. He could cut me up into little pieces if he wanted to. Just take me. I never said the same thing since, but I'm saying it to you. I ain't what folks think. No man's never touched me. You take me with you when you go back to San Francisco. I wouldn't be afraid with you. Maybe just kiss my cheek and say something nice. I don't want to be in no show, printed in no paper. I just want somebody to know I'm alive. Please.
No.
What's the matter?
Look at yourself. You're still that grimy 16-year-old kid pretending she's a man. You don't compete with women because you're afraid to.
Paladin.
Find a man who wants the smell of the stables and ask him to take you away.
Breed wants me.
Then you and Mr. Breed deserve each other.
And he can have me just as soon as he kills you.
He's a nasty one, Mr. Paladin.
Come along if you like. Good afternoon, Ella. I heard you wanted to see me, Mr. Breed.
Oh, yeah. I didn't recognize you first, wearing them big boy's clothes.
You're carrying your play-acting too far this time, Ella.
Play-acting? I've shot men for less.
That's kid talking. We aren't kids anymore.
Shut up, Tracy!
You heard the lady, Tracy. Shut up and get out. Me and Fancy Pants gonna settle something.
I changed my mind, Breed. I don't want no killing.
Honey, we made a bargain. You're gonna keep it all the way.
Tracy, take her to one side. You, barkeep, pour 5 shots and set them up in the line.
Yes, sir.
What's this?
I promised Tom Carter I'd avoid a gunfight if possible.
Oh, you ain't got no choice, Fancy Pants.
All poured?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now then, Mr. Breed, I have 1 bullet left. Please, draw whenever you're ready.
Well,
are you going to draw?
But I didn't...
If you aren't going to draw, I suggest that you find Tom Carter, hand in your resignation, and start traveling. Now. Lessons continue at 7, Miss West, in my room. Please be on time.
I got myself some female clothes. Cost more than genuine buckskin. I took a bath, too.
Well, come in.
Tracy Calvert's right. If I ain't a woman, I ain't nothing. I'll go if you want me to.
You look very nice, Miss Wayne.
You don't have to say that.
It happens to be true. You come off surprisingly womanly in a dress.
Store sold me a lot of lashings and cross ropes to go underneath.
It is not considered good taste to discuss undergarments.
I'm sorry. Only thing that threw me was my top notch is worse than plaiting a cat pony's tail. I still hate you. Kind of. Now you smile and go ahead. I don't blame you. I'm clumsy and I talk ignorant. And I guess a few yards of silk don't help the likes of me much.
A wise man judges by the lady's smile.
I think I felt better when you was whooping my knuckles and telling me not to spear my bread. Golly, that's the first nice thing you said to me.
I'm dealing with a woman now.
You're dealing with a shaky one. You just being kind to me?
A woman needs kindness only when she has no virtues, Ella.
I wouldn't want you to say anything out of pity.
Pity isn't included in the course. Come in.
Mr. Paladin, I was... Holy lovely jumping toads.
Hello, Tracy.
Well, are you... Well, I... Gosh.
What's the matter, Tracy?
Well... Ella, I've never seen you in... I mean, your hair, your eyes, Ella. You're a lady, Ella.
Am I, Tracy?
You sure are, and I'll kill the man who says you ain't. I'm sorry for what I said to you, Ella, about not being a lady. But doggone it, you've changed.
She changed for you, Mr. Kelton.
Huh?
She'll tell you herself in time. But she'd like it very much if you'd just... kept that silly look on your face and kept thinking of her as a lady.
Oh, I will, Ella. I swear I will, honest. What'd I do wrong? Did I offend you?
No, Tracy. No, dear Tracy.
Now, Ella, don't cry. Mr. Paladin, what do I do now?
Take your lady in your arms, Mr. Kelvin, and never let her go.
Abilene Town, Mr. Paladin.
In Abilene Town, things are going smoothly. And how are things here in San Francisco?
Smoothly.
Specifically, the young lady I never dined with, is she still registered here?
Oh, yes.
Then will you please take her this note and tell her I'm back?
I'll do it, but her husband no like.
A husband?
She get married 2 days ago.
I mean...
But a Spanish dancer registered today. Very nice. Oh, you catch him up for dinner, eh?
The Spanish dancer?
Oh, boy.
Hey, boy, take that note up to the Spanish dancer with my compliments.
Same note?
Same note.
No one we know of approves of wasting money. In spite of that, however, we Americans are often guilty of wasting our money by the uses we make of our government facilities. Take the operation of the post office, for example. Mostly out of habit, many offices and individuals post outgoing mail at the end of the day. In so doing, they leave post office employees with too little work to do at other times of the day. In addition, we forget to include zone numbers as part of the address. In both ways, we're slowing down the entire system for delivering mail and adding to the cost of our postal operation. The problem is simple enough to solve. Start solving it tomorrow. If you'll arrange to post letters and packages earlier in the day and include zone numbers on the return address as well as the outgoing address, you'll help our post office operate more efficiently for you and at less cost, too. Remember, for faster, more economical service, mail early in the day and include zone numbers. Gun will travel. created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced by Norman McDonnell and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Gene Roddenberry and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Sam Edwards, Harry Bartell, Lawrence Dopkin, Lynn Allen, and Barney Phillips. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from December 7th, 1958 on CBS, the third broadcast in the radio series, with a script taken from the original TV version starring Richard Boone, which aired on January 4th, 1958. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. And now an Elliot Lewis production of Crime Classics from July 20th, 1953, a story of Jesse James called The Death of a Picture Hanger, a CBS radio broadcast next.
Good evening. This is Crime Classics. I am Thomas Highland. I'm going to tell you another true crime story. Listen. The man is nailing a horse's picture to the wall. The horse is pawing the western skies in the classic attitude of pawing horses, and it is the top half of a calendar distributed by Isaac's Livery. It's a hot April day in St. Joseph, Missouri, in the year 1882, and the man is hanging the picture in his living room because he has a fondness for the noble beast. Horses have gotten him out of many a critical situation, such as 1, holding up railroads, 2, robbing banks, 3, murdering fellows. His name is Jesse James, and as soon as he finishes hanging that picture, a friend of his is going to shoot the back of his head off. So tonight, my transcribed report to you on the death of a picture hanger.
Crime Classics, a new series of true crime stories taken from the records and newspapers of every land from every time. Your host each week, Mr. Thomas Highland, connoisseur of crime, student of violence, and teller of murders. Now, once again, Thomas Highland. Tonight, we take you to Jefferson City, Missouri, to the mansion of the governor of that state. His name was Crittenden, but his cronies called him Critch. He liked living in the governor's mansion because he never had it so good. There were servants, crystal chandeliers, wine furnished by cronies, entertainment by cronies, and best of all, 6 small gilded cherubs, backs bent cheerfully to support a cast iron bathtub, and quite often the governor also. So if you've never attended a governor taking a bath, here's your chance.
Where's that soap? Where is it?
Oh, there it is, Critch. Right behind you.
Sure. When's the last time you had a bath?
Kansas City. Just after the hanging of Billy Bob Williams. You see, that was,
March 12th, last.
What a memory you got, Governor.
Yeah. Hanging outlaw is one of the nicest parts of this job, Timberlake. You ever get to be governor, hang a lot of outlaws and remember when. That way you can tell people and people will be impressed and keep you governor.
I'll remember.
Hand me that rose water and glycerin, Sheriff.
Oh, sure.
Oh, thanks. You know what I called you down here for?
Got an idea.
Tell me, and I'll tell you if you're right.
Jesse James?
Look good on my record. He to die somehow soon. During my administration in my state.
People will cheer you wherever you go.
I like the sound of people cheering.
Governor.
Hand me the towel, sir.
Oh.
Thanks.
Governor, I've been thinking.
Scheming kind of thinking?
Oh, you might say.
About Jesse?
If it works, people are liable to cheer you right on to Washington. Then there's no telling what.
In a case like that, You're liable to be standing right where I'm standing.
That's right.
Get Jesse for me.
I'm going to do that.
Not since Kansas City, huh, Sheriff?
Not since then.
Well, how'd you like to take a bath right now?
I didn't want to say nothing. I was hoping you'd ask.
She's all yours, Sheriff. Enjoy yourself.
Sheriff Timberlake was the man who instinctively knew his way around a bathtub. He soaked, lathered, and rinsed and was out of there in the shake of a lamb's tail. Then he went home. Then he changed his clothes. He got into a nondescript outfit of brown woolen pants and a black alpaca coat. And he went down to Kansas City. Many things were to be found in Kansas City. A wooden monument, long since burned, of Daniel Sanker, who got a message through to his beleaguered dad, a grand opera house, and three mechanical pianos, each with fiddle attached. All in all, it was a very happy community. Worthy of note is the fact that Spit in the Ocean, a poker variation, was invented at Bobrick's Poker Palace during this era. And it is into this very den that Sheriff Timberlake wandered. He wandered here because he was looking for someone. A girl. A young lady whose job it was to stand in back of strangers at the gaming tables and make signals to the houseman on the opposite side. When Timberlake approached her, she had three fingers in the air and the tip of her tongue pointing to the left.
Maddie.
Oh.
Up to you, Hunter. Want to talk with you, Maddie.
A second.
Raise you.
Carl.
Now get me a one-eyed jack in the hole. Gives me three of them. Where'd you say you're from? Roanoke?
Nice place. Come on. Out here. What you want?
How's Johnny?
You said you weren't going to turn him in.
For favors.
What you want him to do?
Nothing.
What you want?
Jesse James.
Oh.
Got to clean up Missouri, Matty.
Oh?
Got to start with Jesse.
If you say it.
Yeah, Jesse's staying with Robert and Charlie Ford.
That's right.
Now, your friends, ain't they, Maddie, Robert and Charlie Ford?
I used to know them pretty good.
Ain't hard to talk to old friends, Maddie.
And you ain't gonna touch Johnny, are you?
You just tell Robert and Charlie Ford I'm at Stamponi's boarding house right now. Ain't got a gun, either.
Is that all you want me to do?
You tell them, Maddie. Yeah? Come on in, boys. Well, didn't Matty tell you I left my guns back in Jefferson City? Just you come on in.
Bob, over there.
All right. Glad to see you back in Missouri, Charlie. Heard you and Robert were over in Kansas for a while. Heard you're in jail. Heard you killed a man to get out. Glad to see you back in Missouri.
Bob, get him.
All right. I told you I weren't holding no iron, boys.
Making sure. Take your shirt off him, Bob. Now, let him go, Bob. How come you ain't holding nothing, Sheriff?
Well, now you know what I'm going to say, you believe.
Going back there, Bob, where you was before.
All right.
Sheriff, you crazy?
Let me ask you a question, then you decide. How'd you like a full pardon for what you done in Missouri, Charlie? Robert, you need never go back into Kansas. You're free to stay here as long as you live. Come and go as you please. Don't have to worry about killing four people in Missouri. Besides, have $10,000. You've been robbing, you've been stealing, you've been killing. You got $10 between you? Both of you, murderers, thieves, scum. I figured you'd do that. I'm glad you did. Because now you're hating yourself.
Put your gun back, Bob. Let him run on a little bit more.
You like Jesse James, Charlie?
Ain't nothing about him I like or don't like.
You like Jesse, Robert?
Been talking to you, Rob. Wants to know you like Jesse.
Do you?
Once Jesse and Bob had a little fight. 2 years ago, Bob was only 19, and Jesse a full-grown man. When Jesse was finished with Bob, Bob got to be a full-grown man.
The governor wants Jesse dead or alive.
A lot of people do.
The governor says he'd give both of you a full pardon and $10,000 for Jesse.
Ain't no bargain, Jesse being who he is. Gunfighter like he is, fast like...
Whatever do it, it'd be a hero. People cheer.
That'd be nice.
What'd you say, Robert?
That'd be nice.
Ride with the governor.
That'd be nice.
Being a hero instead of a running dog.
I like that word.
Hero?
Yeah.
Robert?
Yeah?
Say it.
Hero.
What's the matter?
Listen to what I can say. $10,000.
Well, boys?
Jesse James died all of a sudden. Wouldn't take long for you to hear about it. We'd let you know.
That's a promise.
Chain reaction. Governor in bathtub, sheriff in waiting, Matty the girl card watcher, and the brothers Ford, Robert, and Charlie. The principals involved in getting Jesse James assassinated. It would be well at this point to remark upon some of the accomplishments of Jesse James. His standard feat was murdering cowboys and rustling cattle. One incident in Starr County, Texas, had him murdering single-handedly three cowboys and driving off 500 fine head of beef. A record which stands to this day. On record, too, is his slaying by bowie knife of Mr. John W. Wicker, a Pinkerton man from Chicago. Then there were several train robberies, outstanding of which was the one 5 miles east of Council Bluffs, where he and his men derailed the Chicago, Rock Island, and Pacific Express. The cars telescoped. The engineer was instantly killed. 12 passengers were seriously injured. And Jesse and his men robbed them all. There are many other mayhems too numerous to mention, except that they averaged 1.37 corpses per exploit. One act of kindness must be noted, however. Mr. Avery Thompson, hurt grievously by a runaway horse in the streets of Abilene, pleaded to be put out of his misery. From 50 paces, Jesse obliged. His act of mercy was applauded by all around. It was then this half-kind, half-renegade person that the brothers Ford were going to kill. Charlie and Robert went home, lit the kerosene lamp, and waited. They didn't have to wait too long.
Jesse, come on in.
It was a Saturday night when Jesse walked through that doorway in Ray County, and Sunday was his favorite day because he could sleep late.
Have you ever sat in the club listening to someone hold the center of attention? No doubt you've said to yourself, how does he do it? He's no smarter than I am. And you may be right. But he does have the power to command your attention. And this power may come from a thorough knowledge of the subject in discussion. This power through knowledge is available to you. The United States Armed Forces Institute provides opportunities for military personnel to continue their education while on active duty with the armed forces. USAFI courses are almost limitless. Why, there are over 200 courses in high school, college, and technical subjects alone. For a small initial fee, you may enroll in your first USAFI course. From then on, you can continue to take other USAFI courses at no further cost, as long as your progress is satisfactory. Take advantage of this opportunity. Develop your own power through knowledge with a USAFI course. The next time there's a big discussion at the club, you may hold the center of attention.
The night Jesse James walked into the Ford home, he was carrying a .45 Colt on one hip, .45 Smith Wesson on the other, and a .44 Derringer in his waistcoat, and a Winchester rifle hung limply from his left hand. Armed in this manner was standard operating procedure for Jesse when he walked into homes, a procedure which varied only some years before when he courted. At this time of romance, he did not wear the Derringer. It should be remarked, however, that the Winchester was kept by his feet like a faithful old dog. All of which adds up to the fact that all of the people who tried before this Saturday night to kill Jesse were long dead. And the Ford boys, Robert and Charlie, were well aware of this fact. But Robert wanted to be a hero, and Charlie wanted $10,000. So they were very hospitable.
Sit in the rocker, Jess. Want some whiskey? Bob. Heard you have been in Jefferson City, Jess.
Here you are, Jess. You must be sleepy, Jess.
What's the matter with you, Bob? You don't have to tell Jess when he's sleepy. Jess knows when he's sleepy.
I just don't want to talk important things to him, that's all. Not when his head's nodding.
Simmer down, Bob.
All right, Jess, I'll tell you. We're tired of lazing around. Me and Charlie have been doing nothing, just waiting for you to say go. When are you going to say go, Jess?
Kid's anxious, Jess. Just like kids.
You're tired, that's all.
Been on my back like this for a week, Jess. Worrisome, ain't he?
Listen, Jess, we figured something.
A train, Jess.
Trains are easy.
You hear what he said? You hear what he said, Charlie? Trains are easy.
Kid.
The Chicago, Rock Island, and Pacific out of Kansas City. It makes a stop at Winston, Jess.
At Cameron, too.
Here's your drink, Jess. We're going to do it to the train, Jess?
Need some sleep. Bob, fix Jess that place in the barn.
Sure. Sure will.
So Bob went out to the barn, fluffed up some straw, and made a bed for Jesse to sleep in. This was considered an act of compassion of the time. Barn owners to wayfarers. But in this instance, it was known as a tactic. Get Jesse on his back in the barn with maybe his guns off. Get him while he's sleeping. So consider now what we have here. Jesse James bedded down for the night and his two would-be assassins as guardian angels. In the trade, this is known as a precarious position. So switch now from prone Jesse to outside the barn. Nearly midnight in Missouri, and a mist from the river threading between Charlie Ford and Bob.
When are we going to kill Jess?
Try killing him from now on.
You think he's sleeping?
Where'd you bed him down?
Under that window.
Let's go peek, see if he's sleeping.
What'd you think?
He's lying there, all right.
Eyes closed?
Can't tell. Sure tell this, though.
What?
Look in that pool of moon. Wait a minute, I'll get out of your way. See?
He's holding a gun in each hand.
He's a light sleeper.
When he sleeps.
We don't even know he's sleeping.
Charlie. Shoot him. Kill him.
You want to be the hero, younger brother. You do.
Supposing I miss.
I'll shoot you just where you're standing if you miss. Because if you miss, you ache Jess. And I'll just explain to Jess that I killed you to save his life. That way saving mine.
If we were sure he's sleeping, be no trouble at all.
You make sure.
If some kind of animal or something walked by and saw it, that'd be a way. Hey, you wait here a minute. Come here, you little old dog. That's right. You're too old to live anyhow. Little dog's too old to live anyhow, Charlie. Step aside a minute. I'll push him through this chink in the wall. Critter'd run into the barn past Jess, and we'll find out for sure.
Oh, shit, I'm like a woman, Bob. Just do it.
Bob and Charlie huddled together that night, and in the morning they flashed their nicest, sleepiest grins when they awoke to find Jesse James standing over them.
I shot me this critter last night. Who's going to cook me my breakfast?
The boys tumbled out of bed and vied who would be first at the skillet. Bob won, and Charlie put the kettle on. It was late, and it was Sunday, so they had brunch. Toward its end, as a gesture of carefree camaraderie, Jesse heaved the Ford's best china against the wall.
Breaking them against the wall's easy, Jess. Why don't you throw them up in the air and shoot them?
Crazy, Bob. What'd you tell him to do that for?
He used up all his bullets, and then we... Watch it, Jess!
Ain't gonna hit you, Bob. Just seeing how close I can come.
In the name of heaven, Jess!
Cut it out, Jesse. You got the kid almost crying.
Stand still. See how you like it, Charlie. See if I can fan your ear without drawing blood. Now let's go do it to a train.
Which meant riding down to Winston, which meant for the Ford boys a constant vigilance for the moment when Jesse would turn his back, would ride ahead of them a few paces. Anything so that they could have an irretrievable advantage. Historians make category of this event as the ride to Winston with the Fords up front. Jesse just didn't trust anybody to ride in back of him, except his mom, but then she was only comfortable on very slow horses. So down to Winston they rode. And at 9:30 p.m. on Monday night, they boarded the Chicago, Rock Island, and Pacific train. As soon as the train started, they dressed themselves in white linen dusters. They wore red handkerchiefs over their faces, and they waited in the vestibule for the conductor. 15 minutes later, Jesse James and the Fords left behind them two corpses, a wounded engineer, and an empty duck cage, the boys having released a dozen ducks from the express car. They took with them $8,000 in cash and convertible mementos. The boys jumped off the train at a point where they had tethered their horses. Then they rode south. They rode to St. Joseph, Missouri. They rode to the home of Jesse James, with Jesse riding behind.
Wait out here, boys.
Annie. That you, Jeff?
Sure.
I'm in the kitchen. Oh, hello,
Hello, Jeff.
Don't you kiss me now, Ann. You wait till I wash off this road dust.
I don't mind.
You're too pretty to get mussed up.
Oh, Jeff.
What you got there, Ann?
I was in Isaac's today to see about some harness. He gave me this calendar. He said, you put this up in a nice place, Mrs. Howard.
Everybody in town calls you Mrs. Howard, don't they, Ann?
They call us the Happy Howards. They ask what you do, I say a traveling man. You been traveling, Jess?
I brought your watch, Mrs. Howard. Yeah.
Why, Mr. Howard, porcelain and gold, just what I wanted. Now you go away and wash so I can kiss you. What you doing to that calendar, Jess?
Pretty picture of a horse, Ann. Tear off the calendar part, it'll look nice in the parlor. Nail it up in the parlor, Ann.
Some tacks and a hammer in the cabinet.
Brought the Ford boys with me, Ann.
Oh, that's nice.
I'll have the boys come in. You make us something to eat.
I'll fetch you some water first for horses.
Come on in, boys. You boys like this picture?
Right, good picture of a horse.
What are you gonna do with it, Jeff? Figure to hang it here somewheres.
I wouldn't want me a picture of no horse in the parlor.
You just ain't got no eye.
No, he ain't. Yeah, I think hanging a picture like that's real good. Where are you gonna hang it, Jeff?
Here, I guess.
That's too low to hang a picture.
Yeah.
Higher, huh? I had me that picture, and I was gonna hang it. I'd hang it high.
Maybe you're right. Pleasant to be home.
How's your missus?
Pleasant to be home. Man don't have to carry around all these guns weighing heavy around his middle. Feels mighty fine.
I said, how's your missus, Jess?
Getting water. Gonna cook us something. Get off that chair, Bob.
What for?
You stupid. I said I was gonna hang me this picture.
All right. Charlie!
You shot the back of Jesse's head off, Bob.
That make me a hero, don't it?
Sure does.
Shooting Mr. Howard, alias Jesse James, in the back was a very heroic deed. So heroic that a song was written about it. The refrain goes, "And the dirty little coward, he shot Mr. Howard and laid Jesse James in his grave." Of a picture hanger, tonight's crime classic was adapted from the original court reports and newspaper accounts by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. The music was composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann, and the program is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis. Thomas Highland is portrayed on radio by Lou Merrill. In tonight's story, Clayton Post was heard as Jess, Paul Fries as Charlie, and Sam Edwards as Bob. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Charlotte Lawrence, Paula Winslow, and Joseph Granby. Roy Rowan speaking.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
crime classics on Tuned to Yesterday from July 20th, 1953 on CBS. And that wraps this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.